This show was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kanepes, Hawke's Bay's community access radio station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for enabling us to put Hawke's Bay voices on air.
Morena, everyone. This is David from Citizens Advice in Hastings with my colleague Denise. And the topic we're going to explore today is the topic of scams. And I'm going to begin with a little bit of statistical information to set a context for why we've chosen this topic. So the global data internet security provider Norton have indicated that people in their 20s and 30s are the most likely age groups to lose money to investment scams. And in particular, people under 50 are approximately five times more likely as people over 50 to lose money to cryptocurrency scams. All right, so in a New Zealand context, in the quarter for October to December 2021, CERT New Zealand, the government agency which tracks all the scams and to whom you can turn for help, they had 568 reports of scams, and they estimated that in that period there was a loss of about $5.9 million to scam. So what's happened in 2022? Well, in the first quarter, January to March, the number of reports has jumped to 2,333. And the financial loss in that period, they estimated about 3.7 million. Now, this is a 23% jump on financial loss over the same quarter in 2021, and a 63% increase in the reporting of scams. So there's two things you can take from these figures. First of all, the amount of money lost is enormously significant. But secondly, the increase in reports is probably a good indication because it probably says that New Zealanders are becoming a lot more aware of scams and they are reporting them. So there, according to CertNet and other organisations that monitor scams, there are thousands and thousands of scams. There's no way you can list them all because they keep appearing. But they all have a number of things in common. In essence, they rely on emotional manipulation. So that might be by scaring you. It might be by targeting you, and you know, targeting your desire to make money, greed, if you like. Or targeting insecurities. So it's this kind of manipulation that all scams rely on. Now I'm going to pass to my colleague Denise to continue the topic.
Thanks, David. One of the things as volunteers for Citizens Advice is that once a month we have somebody who comes and works with us to do some ongoing learning. And recently we've had someone come and work with us and talk to us about scams and fraudulent activity. The whole thing is really quite scary. One of the things that we're very aware of is that scams target people at a vulnerable time as people are getting elderly, and the scams themselves are getting more sophisticated. For most of us, if we are at risk of getting scammed, we probably feel a little bit embarrassed. And we need to be very clear that actually it can happen to anyone. And the more we work together to protect ourselves, and if there is a risk of actually reporting it. So there are several areas to be aware of. One of those first things is the card security. Now, we all, you know, carry a wallet around with cards in it, and most of us do, but it's keeping those cards in a safe place and accounted for. So never letting anyone else use your card. Now, you know, we could have a situation at the moment where if people are isolating, they maybe give their card to somebody else to go and get their groceries. It's not a wise thing to do. Even loaning a card to a family member, you're putting yourself and you're putting them at risk. Don't use your ATM card if it looks as if the machine may have been tampered with, and be wary of anyone standing behind you or offering to help. There are card controls apps that you can put onto your phone. And one of the things that I've been made aware of quite recently is having the RFID technology in your wallet. And that stops somebody who can actually read your card inside your wallet and put yourself in a particular risk, particularly for those travelling overseas. So those RFID technology wallets are quite reasonable from places like Kathmandu or other travel areas. Thinking about your personal identification number, your PIN number and your password security. So not disclosing your PIN number or internet banking passwords to anyone, including the police, the bank or your family. Cover your hand when you're entering your PIN number. And although it might be something that's quite easy to remember, don't use your birth date or easily guessed sequence of numbers as your PIN. Don't keep a record of your PIN number or your internet banking passwords, particularly on your phone. Keep passwords strong and avoid using easily guessed personal information. And don't store these in your browser. Don't disclose your internet banking netcode, so that's the unique number sent via text to your mobile phone or generated to anyone, including the police, the bank or your family. And if you suspect someone knows your PIN number or has access to your internet banking or passwords, contact your bank immediately to have this changed or cancelled. Now, one of the other areas that we have to think about for security is your information and check security. Now, checks, we know, not used very much now, and in fact, not really at all. But there are other documents and statements that it's really important to keep safe. Destroy them, and that's ideally by shredding, not putting out in the recycling. Consider getting your statements emailed to you. Check your bank statements regularly to make sure that they match with the transactions you've made. Never pre-sign things. And then thinking, as David has talked before, about the context of scams. So a scam really is involving a party trying to lure, threaten or scare you into giving up some sensitive information or funds. Scams rely on deception and they appear very genuine. If it sounds too good to be true, normally it is. So scams may involve propositions like romance and threatening. And we had a situation that was discussed with us about somebody who had linked up with somebody through an internet dating site, and the person was overseas, promised to come to New Zealand. So the person who had linked up with them and sent them money to assist them with the process. And it wasn't until the third amount of money had been transferred that they realised actually they were being scammed, by which stage they had lost a vast amount of money. There's the charity appeals. There's a lot of those that are put in front of us. The texts or the emails that you get that you've won the lottery or competitions. As I said before, if it sounds too good to be true, normally it is. Overpayment requesting funds to be returned. So investment or inheritance opportunities. Job opportunities. Mystery shopping ploys. And the one that you get around 6 o'clock at night, the telecommunication one, the IT support. That there's a problem with your internet. You know, just give us your access to your computer and we'll be able to fix this. So scams can be conducted through phone calls, emails, social media and in person. And often they try to scare you into believing that your bank account security is at risk or time is running out. You know, there's only 100 people who are being offered this. or you need to make a decision now because it's only valid today. Phone security. So if someone is claiming to be from a telecommunication company, just like I said before, even if they sound reputable, never give any information or access to your computer. If you're unsure if it's a scam, if you're asked to log into your computer or give someone some information, hang up and phone the organisation listed number. Although the scam is likely to be based overseas, the phone number may appear to be local. So sometimes it will come up that it's an overseas number. Sometimes it will come up as a New Zealand number. So these people are very cunning. Scammers can often tell you that it's urgent and you need to act quickly, or that you've got an urgent bill to pay. Sometimes they will tell you that you've had an unusual transaction on an account and you need to click in to this area to make contact. Never do it. And don't be intimidated by callers. Scammers will often use scare tactics to get what they want. We're going to do another session on this at a later date, so I'll hand back to David to talk some more.
All right, thank you, Denise. I'm going to pick up on a number of the issues that Denise has talked about with a case. This I took from a Consumer New Zealand website, where there is a very good section on how to deal with scams. Excellent advice. We certainly would direct people who call us at the Bureau for help. We'd certainly direct them to Consumer, amongst other organisations, where you can get excellent advice on how to deal with scams and how to protect yourself. And this case study is very relevant to the sort of things that we've been talking about. Not scare tactics in this case, taking somebody into a confidential situation. So this happened last year, and the person concerned, an elderly lady, answered her landline, and the caller introduced himself as an officer from her bank's fraud squad. And he told her that her account was being targeted, and the fraud squad at the bank would like to enlist her help to catch the thief, who they believe was an employee at the bank. But, and this is the catch, she must keep this secret, otherwise the thief would be alerted. So why did he target an elderly lady? Well, the elderly lady was probably vulnerable, and she would certainly have a high degree of propensity to believe what she was being told, and she would certainly keep a secret if it was something that was going to be treated in confidence. And that's what happened. So he persuaded her to transfer the money she had in her account into another account, and this was going to entice the thief into a trap. How that was going to happen, he didn't explain. Now, the bank, to their credit, detected that something was wrong, and they halted the transaction. But the caller had anticipated this already, and he instructed the elderly lady to ring the bank and explain the money was going to go to a family member. So, you know, the deception is, as you can see, the deception is quite deep. So the trust of this elderly lady and her desire to, you know, to see things done correctly, they were being exploited. Now, she had promised the caller she wouldn't say anything to anybody else because it was a security issue, and if anything leaked out, then the thief would be alerted and so on. So her daughter knew something was happening, but she didn't really know what it was. So this was a 48-hour period of silence, and at the end of that 48-hour period, the expectation that there would be a call from the bank to say, yes, we've caught the thief and the money's gone back into your account, that didn't happen. What had transpired was that there was no money in the account. And you might think, oh, yes, well, you know, I wouldn't fall into this situation. Well, perhaps not, but people do. Consumer didn't put this onto their website because it was an isolated incident. It's indicative of the kind of lengths that scammers will go to get people to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. So if you think about the advice that Denise was giving before, always check with someone else before you do something. Right? A second or third opinion before you make a decision is going to perhaps protect you from doing something that you would otherwise not do or that you would regret in the end. And I think the problem with being scammed is that you feel afterwards, you feel silly, you feel ashamed, you feel that, you know, you've done something that you don't want to talk to people about. But actually it's important that you do talk about it, because that's the only way really that people can get help. Talk to family members, talk to the authorities, certainly contact Citizens Advice. We can help you. We can give you advice on where to go. And there are a number of places where you can get excellent advice on scams. So the CERT New Zealand website, which is a government agency that deals specifically with scams, that has all the information divided up into nice little areas such as personal, business, large organisations and so on, because the scams for these contexts are different. The Department of Internal Affairs website also has a number of sets of information about scams. The police have on their website the scam alert button, which you can click onto. If you're going to travel overseas, Immigration New Zealand will have a list of the kinds of scams that you might encounter when you're abroad. And Inland Revenue also has scams, particularly relating to finance. So help us there. If you have been scammed or you're worried about something, then you know, pause, take some time. Talk to somebody. If you've been scammed, still talk to somebody, because it's that way that we can beat the scammers. So I'm going to now pass back to Denise, and then when I talk again, I'm going to talk about some points that CERT New Zealand and consumer make about being sensible.
Yeah, it's so important to remember that everyone is vulnerable. The technology changes on a day-to-day basis. And one of the things that Citizens Advice put out, particularly from our local office, is when a current scam is in place. And David, our manager, is very good at keeping us up to date with that. And every week, sometimes a couple of times a week, there'll be a recent scam that's doing the circuit. So it's never really possible to keep on top of that. And the more that things are advertised through social media, you know, sale and renting and things, the more vulnerable people are. And we had a recent case where somebody had rented some accommodation in another town through social media, paid a deposit, and then was requested for further money for various things. It wasn't until the amount of money being requested was to do with
key
money, that someone started to question, actually, this doesn't really sound as though it's authentic. So it's really important just to talk to others about it and be careful through social media, because you haven't got that up front face. One of the other areas is that online security. So making sure that on your computer that you have a reputable security product and keeping your software and applications up to date. Be wary of phishing emails. So phishing, P-H, I-S-H-I-N-G, not the F-I, is the process of trying to get information by pretending to be a trustworthy organisation. So this is when these pop-ups come on your computer. Don't click on any links within the email or reply, because they use this information to capture information about you and then use that fraudulently. If you don't recognise the sender or the attachment, if it looks suspicious, delete it, because it may contain a harmful virus. So we're going to talk about that in another month or so. But just being remembering is all of those areas which put you vulnerable.
Okay, thanks, Denise. So in the final part of this session, I'm going to talk briefly about identity theft, because this is also part of scamming. So how does this happen? Well, if you think that you are the victim of identity theft, then you should report that to the police. And if it involves an agency such as the New Zealand Transport Association, for example, your driver's license has been, the identity of you through your driver's license has been fraudulently taken, then you need to report it to the Land Transport Authority. Okay. So how does it happen? Well, your FTOS card or credit card can be stolen, obviously. Those are the big ones. You need to report everything that happens immediately to the authorities. So credit card, straight to the bank. They will put a hold on it immediately that they get the information. I should say that in the case of scams and identity theft, banks will move very quickly and they will be extremely supportive. You might think that it's going to be embarrassing to have to admit this to the bank, but you know the banks are there to support you. They have excellent procedures when they've got the information, so don't hesitate to call them. Then, of course, obviously, if you lose your passport, you need to deal with that really quickly. Closest passport office, if you're in a country where there is no New Zealand diplomatic representation, then go for something that is likely to assist, such as a British High Commission or a British Embassy. Your driver's license. Sometimes you will receive, and you may receive an account, a bill for an account that you you don't actually recognise. It looks as though it should be yours. It sounds as though it should be yours, but you're not really sure. Now, if that's the case, contact the organisation that's supposed to have issued the bill, because there have been cases where people have actually double paid an account. Somebody's intercepted the account, they've issued a false invoice, it's been paid, but the real contractor hasn't been paid. So if you're not sure, check. I think what we would say in concluding, if you're uncertain, step back and take time. Don't act immediately. One of the things that scams rely on is the impulse reaction. And often, as I think Denise said, scams will come to you at a time when you are vulnerable. You're not paying attention. You're busy doing other things. So just be aware of that. Okay, so we're going to continue this topic, which is vast and tricky. We're going to continue it again next month. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Ngā mihi.
Thank you.
This show was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kanepas, Hawke's Bay's community access radio station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for enabling us to put Hawke's Bay voices on air.